Should a city's employees, like police and firefighters, have to live within a city's borders? Do municipal residency requirements make sense or not? We'll examine the issue in today's Big Question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, December 12th. Usually, for the Big Question, we have two guests debating an issue that's in the news, but we decided today to talk with an analyst, someone who can give us the pros and cons of residency requirements, or repealing residency requirements. Our discussion is prompted by a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week about Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett bracing for a new challenge to Milwaukee's residency law. The Republican-controlled legislature tried to repeal Milwaukee's residency law last year, but the effort failed. Mayor Barrett says he is convinced that lawmakers will try again to end Milwaukee's residency law in the next legislative session, and he says that it would hurt Wisconsin's largest city. Should Milwaukee's residency law be repealed? We welcome your questions and we wonder what you think at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mark Levine, Senior Fellow and Founding Director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. His areas of expertise include economic change, urban development, and cultural diversity in the city. And Professor Levine is also a frequent guest on At Issue with Ben Marins. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about Milwaukee's residency law. It's been in place, I understand, since 1930. What does it entail?
Well, basically, it requires that if you're an employee of the city of Milwaukee, or you're a Milwaukee police officer or firefighter, or if you're a teacher in the Milwaukee public school system or a staff member at the Milwaukee public school system, you, as a condition of your employment, need to live in the city of Milwaukee. It's as simple as that.
And why is this on the books?
Well, there are several arguments in favor of residency requirements. I mean, there's obviously philosophical argument that individuals who are delivering public services in a community need to be or should be sort of close to the pulse of that community, and one way in which that closeness obviously can be ensured is that the individuals have some skin in the game, so to speak. They live in the community. They're part of the community. They understand the community. I mean, that's sort of the larger argument. I don't think that's the real reason we do it anymore. I think it's a very basic economic argument at this point, and that is that, in particular, given the outflow of people from central cities in the United States starting to accelerate, certainly from the 1950s and the 1960s on. It's slowed a bit recently, but still the largest portion of population growth in metropolitan areas is still in suburban areas and not in central cities. And with that loss of population, there's also been obviously an outflow of jobs and the like. The logic is that for a portion of the jobs that are controlled by the city, those jobs ought to be held by city residents to obviously require those individuals holding those jobs to live in the city and at least have that as an anchor, if you will, as a base in the city. So it's evolved from a kind of a political philosophy argument of service providers being close to the communities that they serve, to more of a straight up economic development argument and urban public finance argument, because obviously the individuals who are living in the cities, who are public employees, are in many cases homeowners. They're paying property taxes. They contribute to the revenue base of the city, and they one would hope would spend more of their income in the city, since they're living in the city and the establishments that they would be spending their money at would be closest to them. So it's really an economic argument more than anything else these days.
Right. And Mayor Barrett wants the law to stay as it is. And he pointed to, I think it was the city of Detroit, saying that the city of Detroit went downhill fast after its residency requirement was lifted.
Right. Right. Well, I don't think, you know, I don't think the mayor would make the argument that the decline of Detroit was as a consequence of the lifting of the residency requirement. I think his argument would more be that the lifting of the residency requirement sort of contributed to the ongoing decline of Detroit and eliminated a bulwark to some extent against some of that decline. And, you know, the data do show that you know, well over half of the city employees who had previously been required to live in the city once the requirements were lifted did in fact leave the city. And the vast majority of those employees, and this is not dissimilar from Milwaukee or Chicago or you know, Minneapolis, you know, a host of other cities where it's a very kind of similar situation, where the public employees, they're sort of a, I don't even know how to describe this, a sort of almost internal suburbanization that's occurred within the city as they live kind of on the periphery of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Ehrenrault of Governing Magazine kind of referred to them as kind of the buffer between the central city and the emerging suburban ring. And so what happened in Detroit was that, you know, a lot of those police officers and firefighters and municipal employees who were living, you know, right on basically the border between Detroit and the suburbs simply, you know, left the city. And so the concern obviously would be that a similar kind of out-migration would occur if the residency requirements were lifted in Milwaukee. I mean, if you lost, Milwaukee has about, 16 or 17,000 public employees total, if you add up firefighters, police officers, MPS employees, and city employees. So if it followed the Detroit pattern, you know, you'd lose somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 of those employees. That could be a non-trivial loss of property tax revenues and obviously whatever consumer expenditures supporting local businesses that those employees obviously provide. Now, it's not necessarily a sure thing that number would leave, but the likelihood is it's somewhere around that. And I think it's reasonable to make that conclusion just on the basis of the way in which the Milwaukee labor market has evolved over the years, and that is that, you know, about 50 to 60% of those people who work in the city of Milwaukee actually live outside the city of Milwaukee in the private sector. So one would suspect that a similar pattern would occur for public employees as well.
Well, as mentioned, the mayor is bracing himself for another possible challenge to this residency requirement in Milwaukee. Republican State Senator Leah Vukmir led the charge last session to repeal the law, but it ended up being stalled. It did not happen. What are the arguments against residency requirements?
Well, the two main arguments that are offered are, one, again, let's start with in the same way I talked about the arguments for. Let's start with sort of the political philosophy one, which is that individuals ought to have the right to live wherever they want to live, regardless of what job they hold. That it's a sort of an unfair abrogation of an individual's right to choose. And in a certain sense, this is maybe not so much philosophical, but a sort of quasi-economic philosophy argument. By imposing this requirement, you impose a certain tax on someone, you know, willing to accept or someone who has accepted a city job, you know, public employment, mm-hmm. An unfair tax, if you will, and so to eliminate that unfairness, you need to eliminate the requirement. I should sort of just add parenthetically that's certainly a reasonable argument for someone to make about residency requirements, but, you know, we should add that, you know, we put lots of requirements on lots of things as a condition for either accepting employment or for purchasing things or having a right to get a credit card. I mean, any number of requirements. So why, why is it somehow an unfair abrogation? But anyway, that's sort of the first broad philosophical argument. But again, I don't think that's the key argument. The key argument now is that the residency requirement is harmful for cities because it makes it more difficult to attract the best talent for urban institutions. In particular, I know that Leah Vukmir focuses on the education sector, and so she's argued that it's difficult to attract the best teachers for Milwaukee Public Schools with the residency requirement. And she claims that there are lots of very good teachers who live outside the city who would be, in fact, interested in working for the public school system, and the residency requirement is an insurmountable obstacle for those folks. Again, it's certainly a reasonable economic argument. I haven't seen any data or any analysis to sustain that argument, but that would be the argument in favor of lifting the residency requirement.
We are talking about Milwaukee's residency requirement and a story in the news this week that Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett fears that the state legislature may once again try to repeal the law in Milwaukee that requires city employees to reside within the city's borders. We have a guest with us who is giving us the pros and cons of having a residency requirement or repealing a residency requirement. And we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And as always, during our big question segments, we also have an online poll. It's linked to Facebook and it is also available for your online vote at wpr.org/joy. It's going to be partly to mostly cloudy today. We can expect a high temperature in the upper 20s in northern Wisconsin, getting into the lower 40s in the southern part of the state. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network. This is our Big Question segment where we are asking you whether or not you support residency requirements or not. Do you support or oppose requiring city employees to live within city limits? We are talking with Mark Levine, Senior Fellow and Founding Director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. He's analyzing the residency requirements with us, and we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get to your calls in just a moment, but Mark Levine, can you help me understand? I tried to look this up. Why is the state legislature involved in whether or not Milwaukee has a residency requirement or not?
Well, the state legislature is involved just for legal reasons. The state legislature, cities are the creations of state governments, so state legislatures, can legislate sort of the governing framework or the administrative framework of cities and kind of, reshape their charter and that stuff. But I think maybe the larger question that you're driving at is what's the impetus? What's the political impetus for this? I mean, why are state legislators particularly interested kind of in this issue? Usually the impetus for lifting residency requirements comes from within the city. It's an odd kind of coalition that might be forming. I don't know if it will form, where municipal employees kind of chafe at the requirement and would like more flexibility and the freedom basically to live wherever they want in the metropolitan area and still hold their city job. I mean, that's historically been where the opposition to residency requirements has come from. In this case, it's coming, as you say, from state legislators, in particular, Leah Vukmir and Alberta Darling, who's state senator from River Hills, a suburb, very affluent suburb outside of Milwaukee. I think they're the original co-sponsors of the bill last time, and they presumably, if the bill comes up, will be the co-sponsors, and they're getting some support from other more suburban and exurban and even rural legislators. And so, the question I think needs to be raised is what's the incentive? What's the motivation? We talked about Ms. Vukmir's arguments about the need for better teachers in the Milwaukee public schools, but that feels to me, at least looking at the situation, that's more of a smokescreen for, maybe a larger argument. I mean, she represents Wauwatosa, which is an inner suburb of Milwaukee. Wauwatosa would be perhaps a likely location where, if residency requirements were lifted, some of the municipal employees might live. I don't think that's the same for River Hills with Senator Darling, but I mean maybe that's part of the consideration. But it's and again, then the other possible context is that certainly in the in the recall campaign that Governor Walker ran over the summer, there was a not so subtle kind of anti-Milwaukee theme that was played out, criticizing Milwaukee's economic conditions. We don't want the rest of the state to become like Milwaukee, this sort of thing. And so it's possible that sort of the legislature focusing on micromanaging Milwaukee in this way is part of that larger kind of anti-Milwaukee theme of the state GOP. I'm speculating here, obviously, but I think that those are more plausible arguments than the economic arguments that are put out, or the talent attraction arguments that state legislators put out. I mean, if they were really concerned about those issues, there are a host of more efficacious ways of improving the flow of talent into Milwaukee than lifting the residency requirements.
Let's take some calls. Jason in Greendale is with us. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. This is a wonderful topic. For myself, I taught for Milwaukee Public Schools for 5 years, and I support it. And the reason why is I sent my kids to Elcott School, and they got a great education. And the neighborhood I lived in was, on Oklahoma. It was a close-knit group. A lot of us were MPS teachers, police, and fire, and it really made for a great sense of community. And, there's other neighborhoods like Washington Park and the East Side that really benefit by having this great resource, human resource, in the city. Now, as I was listening or waiting for the call to be taken out, the guest pointed out the quality of teachers in MPS. And I can tell you now, I've left the district. I teach in another district. Based on the layoff situation. But I can tell you this, MPS has great teachers. They really do. But I can tell you, though, the real problem in MPS is the teachers. It's that HR department, I can tell you. And I don't want to get political on it, but we want better teachers. It's not forcing them to live where they live. The biggest thing is fixing that, because I can tell you, MPS has great teachers, and we have a great city. And if we let it go, places like Detroit and Cleveland aren't too far away. I mean, we're a Rust Belt city. We need to keep that human resource in the city. If we lose it, just a matter of time. So thanks for taking my call, Joy. I really appreciate this. This is an awesome topic.
Thank you, Jason, for bringing us your perspective on this as a teacher. And there is, Mark Levine, no evidence that Milwaukee is having a hard time recruiting good teachers because of this residency requirement?
Not really. The Milwaukee Public Schools, I actually have not seen the study, but I think Milwaukee Public Schools had done a study of this in which they found that they could always do more to attract talented teachers, even though I think the previous caller's comments were correct, and I wouldn't want to be misconstrued in laying out the arguments on both sides of me saying that there's necessarily a problem with the teaching core in Milwaukee public schools. The public school system, argued that the residency requirement is not, I think they said, not a singular barrier to attracting and retaining teachers, administrators, but they think it's, perhaps, somewhat of a contributing factor. And so they actually, were talking about some, increased flexibility, maybe a 2 or 3 year delay before the people, new hires have to move into the city and give, some sort of flexibility to it. So, there's at least some addressing of the issue, but I don't think there's any systematic analysis that correlates the quality of the teaching core in Milwaukee Public Schools with any impediments that flow from a residency requirement. And more to the point, there are other cities, obviously, around the country that have residency requirements, and so there's no sort of large database or study that I've seen that suggests that residency requirements are correlated in cities across the country with inferior teaching cores in cities or inferior public employees generally.
We have just a minute before a news break. There are residency requirements in other cities around the nation and around Wisconsin as well. I don't expect you to know all of them, but are they common? Are they being repealed more often than not? What's the status?
Yeah, they're. For the most part, they are being slowly kind of whittled away. There still are Chicago, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Boston. Although Boston's has a lot of holes in it, so a lot of exemptions. And in fact, I think there are teacher exemptions in the Boston residency law. So only about 30-40% of public employees now in Boston actually live in the city of Boston. So, I'd say about half large cities, maybe somewhat fewer, still have residency requirements. We can maybe on the other end talk about some of those.
It sounds good. We will do that. We are talking about residency requirements and the possible effort by the state legislature to repeal Milwaukee's residency requirement, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett says he fears the Republican-controlled state legislature will repeal a law requiring city employees to reside within Milwaukee's city limits. Milwaukee's residency requirement has been on the books since 1930, and the mayor would like to keep it there, saying that the city's financial well-being would be put at risk if police and firefighters and teachers and other city employees were allowed to move out of or live outside of the city's borders. Last year, there was an attempt to repeal the law by lawmakers who said the residency requirement infringes on the freedom of city employees to live anywhere they want, and also argued it was a deterrent in recruiting the best teachers or other public employees. The effort stalled in the state legislature. But city officials expect that the residency requirement will be challenged again, perhaps as early as early next year, which leads us to today's big question. Do you support or oppose requiring city employees to live within city limits? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:38 on this Wednesday, December 12th. We are talking with UW-Milwaukee experts on the pros and cons of municipal residency requirements, and we are welcoming your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mark Levine is our guest, a senior fellow and founding director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. His areas of expertise include economic change, urban development, and cultural diversity in the city. And let's go back to the phones. Carolyn in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Joy. My question, I guess, is more semantics, but I'm a former MPS employee, and now I work in Madison, but I'm married to a teacher in MPS, and I cannot find anything that says this is actually a law or a city ordinance for Milwaukee Public School teachers to live in the city. It's merely part of the collective bargaining contract that they've had since 1975.
All right, so is it a part of collective bargaining? Do you know, Mark Levine?
To be honest, I don't think I do. It may just simply be that the collective bargaining contract follows, the municipal ordinance on regular city employees, or not. I don't know the exact answer to that.
Well, I'm sorry, we don't have an exact answer for you, Carolyn. But do you have, do you have a view or on whether or not it makes sense to have this kind of residency requirement?
Well, to be honest, I'm completely torn. I'm a property owner in the city of Milwaukee. I've lived in Milwaukee since 1986. I live in Milwaukee, but at the same time, it is frustrating. My family doesn't have the freedom to move. If we would like to move somewhere in between Milwaukee and Madison, so that's, I'm torn. I see both the pros and the cons on it, and I'm frustrated.
Yeah. And Carolyn, did you say you work in the city of Madison now?
Yeah, I do. I work for the state.
Okay, so you don't have a Madison residency requirement to deal with?
No. Well, not as a state employee. I don't know that Madison has a residency requirement.
They do for sort of the city administrators and that sort of thing, Mark Levine, but I don't know if it extends to all public employees who work for the city of Madison. But in any case, she's torn, and I bet you that's common.
Well, I think it is, and some of the questions that Carolyn raises with regard to issues like housing and the logistical issues of moving versus and affordability of housing come up in these residency requirement debates. One of the arguments for loosening the residency requirements, municipal residency requirements for public employees in Boston, for example, was because the housing market, now this is not the situation in Milwaukee, but the housing market in Boston is kind of widely known, went skyrocketing after the early 1980s. It's among the two or three most expensive housing markets now in the country. And so increasingly for a municipal employee, even if they're perhaps somewhat better paid than in places like Milwaukee, nevertheless, the median salary for a municipal employee is well below what's required to afford the median house in Boston. And so the argument for loosening the municipal requirements is actually, I would say, almost a worker benefit, in the sense of saying, look, we're going to give you a job that pays, $70,000 a year, let's say, in Boston, but, the median house is now costing you $400,000. You obviously can't afford that, so, we'll let you live outside the city in a suburb where maybe you can get a place for, a couple hundred thousand or 300 or whatever. But the housing issue is a very important one, and that's also part of the issue in places where there are very pricey housing markets like Washington D.C. area and San Francisco. Neither of those cities has a residency requirement for municipal employees either. And in both places, and I think this would be the case in Milwaukee as well, in both places, around 40% or so of municipal employees actually live in the city itself. I think in San Francisco it's 44%, and maybe in D.C. 42, something like that. And so I think that's probably where Milwaukee would end up, which would mean Milwaukee would, since 100% of municipal employees now live in Milwaukee, if you lifted the requirements, the city would lose about half of its municipal employees to probably moving to the suburbs.
And that would be a big blow to the financial well-being of Milwaukee.
Well, it would certainly take some impetus out of the local housing market, so I think there would be an effect there. Obviously, we talked earlier about the effect on municipal revenues, property tax values, and the like. Now, it would be something of a boon to, we were talking earlier on the other part, the earlier part of the program about what's the impetus for this? What's the motivation? What are the incentives? It would be a boon to realtors, right? I mean, if municipal employees have the right to move, they're not required to live in Milwaukee. It may be a the housing market's fairly depressed around here these days now, post-bubble, but if people, did have the opportunity to move and they wanted to move, that would put a few more houses on the market, and, maybe realtors and, selling suburban real estate feel like this is a, something that they'd like to support. So, perhaps they are, that particular segment of the economy is putting, I don't know, pressure is probably too strong a word, but is perhaps involved in some of the thinking of state legislators who want to sort of micromanage the Milwaukee residency law. Lots of complicated questions here, obviously.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Steve in Rice Lake next. Hello, Steve.
Hi. Say, I'm a full-time state employee. I work for the Department of Corrections for 15 years, and for 15 years I've been a part-time police officer. I'm a part-time police officer because of the residency requirements. when you're part-time, you usually don't have to follow any residency. As far as working for, like, a sheriff's department, I could work in the county that I'm at, but I'm 1 mile from another county line, and I have a quicker response time to that county seat, but I cannot work there full-time. I would have to move 1 mile, move my kids out of a super school district to a school district that's
not so super.
Yeah, not so super. And then there's several other issues. My house is almost paid for. My wife has a good job in another local community. I mean, there's just so many reasons. And then the other thing that never gets mentioned for law enforcement is I've seen myself personally, I think it's better when your officers do not actually live inside the city.
Why?
Well, because it's the good old boy system. And you're sitting there living right next to somebody that's on the police and fire commission. You know, so they're influencing you one way or the other. If you're from outside the community, you're just there to do a job, just like I am for corrections. I drive 65 miles one way every day, do the job, drive home.
And you're talking the community of Rice Lake has this residency requirement, or is it the whole county?
Well, it's all over. I mean, yeah. It's Washburn County, Polk County, Barron County, Chippewa County.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all over. I mean, you know, and, you know, I went to school to be in law enforcement, and instead I'm in corrections.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I love it. It's great. But, you know, I work part-time in law enforcement because of residency.
Yeah. Comment on that, Mark Levine?
Well, I think there are obviously some quite pertinent points made there in terms of logistical issues and the seeming absurdity of living, 1 mile away and having other requirements apply. I think the one point I might take issue with is the notion that it's necessarily better for we'll just take the example of police to be living outside the community. In a city, now maybe in a place like in a smaller community like Rice Lake or whatever, maybe the caller's comments might make some sense on that, but in a community like Milwaukee, individual police officer living on the southern fringe of the city of Milwaukee, could move, to use the caller's example, a mile away or even less into Franklin or South Milwaukee or Oak Creek. That's hardly like they're coming up from Chicago to be an outsider looking at conditions in Milwaukee or being sort of not part of old boy. I mean, the city of Milwaukee is large enough that police officers aren't going to be sort of integrated into all those other networks and be necessarily pose a problem for law enforcement. So I think that might be a little exaggerated. And I guess the other possible comment is that the model of sort of outside folks, or people from outside the community being your law enforcement officers, sort of has the flavor of a little bit of kind of, an occupying force of some sort, which I think, the logic historically, certainly with, the evolution of police systems is that you like to have a closer relationship between police and community, so the police, have a sense of the ins and outs of communities, that they're not seen as alien forces coming in and occupying. And so I think, that's one argument in favor of the police being part of the community and in favor of residency requirements.
And it should be noted that one of the criticisms that I've read about the legislature trying to repeal Milwaukee's residency requirement is that no one in the state legislature is trying to repeal Rice Lake's residency requirement. It's just Milwaukee.
Well, that goes back to this is not a philosophically based attack, if you will, on residency requirements as in principle a bad thing. Otherwise, you're exactly right. You would have a piece of legislation that says, we should have across the board the lifting of municipal residency requirements. This is obviously, specifically aimed at Milwaukee. And one of the questions that I have had through this process is the one we began talking about earlier in the hour, and that is, why Milwaukee? What's the reason for it? Why are these suburban legislators? I mean, you asked the question, why is the legislature getting involved in this? Why are suburban legislators so concerned about these requirements in the city of Milwaukee? And just, you know, trying to put it into some larger perspective of is there another agenda in terms of either controlling Milwaukee or putting Milwaukee in its place or favoring certain parts of the greater Milwaukee region over the city of Milwaukee, or you know, any number of ways you can kind of look at that. And again, I'm speculating, but I think that's kind of the million-dollar question here is, you know, what's the real point of all this?
Chris in Oshkosh is with us next. Hello, Chris.
Morning. I guess I'm unclear now if we're talking about all city employees or just teachers, but if we're thinking about schools, I grew up in Milwaukee. I understand that there are some challenges associated with being a teacher in Milwaukee, especially in maybe lower-income areas that wouldn't be associated with some of the suburbs. So I think the only thing that matters in schools is making sure that you can attract the best teachers. But I guess I'm a little concerned that it sounds like the legislature is looking at residency requirements in a bubble. I'm wondering if I'm a teacher living in Waukesha, am I going to drive into take maybe a harder job in Milwaukee just because I can? So my question is, what else would make me want to teach in Milwaukee? Do Milwaukee teachers have better pay, better benefits? Are there any other incentives? And if not, you know, why wouldn't the legislature try to put together some sort of comprehensive package that makes sense to solve that problem?
Thank you, Chris. Mark Levine, you probably agree with that.
Well, I mean, that's the point I raised a few minutes earlier, is that if the real concern here is a concern on the part of legislators about the quality of teachers in MPS, and again, I underscore that I'm just saying that's their argument. I think it's that the evidence is almost non-existent that there's a major teacher quality problem in MPS. But if their concern is about attracting talent and getting talent into the Milwaukee public school system, there are myriad of ways to do that, short of changing kind of residency rules. I mean, obviously, you can have a talent attraction package. You can make the job, as the caller said, much more attractive, so that individuals would want to, move to Milwaukee to get that quality job. So the point is, as the caller said, if you don't do that, what's going to be the incentive for somebody other than the fact that maybe they can't find a job elsewhere, and there are perhaps some jobs available in MPS, to actually come in from Waukesha or River Hills or Cedarburg or wherever in Metro Milwaukee to teach in MPS. So I think that's a very well taken point.
Well, when asked if he supported ending the Milwaukee residency law, Governor Scott Walker said his focus is on the state budget and creating jobs. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he would wait for a specific proposal before commenting, and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald had no comment. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett says he is hearing from lobbyists that they are preparing to repeal the city's residency requirement. Do you, Mark Levine, have a sense? Do you think that ending Milwaukee's residency requirement is on the to-do list?
Well, again, I'll speculate. Why not?
Thank you.
My sense is that we're going to see in the next month, so in the range of the governor's proposals for the upcoming legislative session become clear in January, another flurry of these sorts of somewhat radical, I guess I'd say, initiatives. I mean, major restructuring initiatives. I mean, I think we've already seen pretty clear evidence that there's going to be legislation on voter registration, same-day voter registration, changing, so therefore sort of changing the dynamics of the election process. I think there's probably a reasonable chance that we're going to see, given what's happened in Indiana and Michigan over the last year or two, a right-to-work law proposal and all those issues regarding unionization. And I think in that And I think there'll potentially be some legislation on some restructuring of the UW system in there. And I think in the mix of all of these kind of restructuring plans, they'll probably sneak in something on changing residency requirements for public employees in Milwaukee. So I think it's going to be a very contentious and active legislative session.
Well, we will have to have you back many times. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Joy.
Mark Levine, Senior Fellow, Founding Director of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development. Well, you've heard from him giving us the pros and cons of residency requirements and kind of focusing in on Milwaukee, as that's where the state legislature might focus to repeal Milwaukee's residency law. And wonder what you think in our sound off portion. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you support or oppose requiring city employees to live within city limits? Why or why not? Checking our weather forecast for today. It's going to be partly to mostly cloudy with high temperatures in the upper 20s in the north to the low 40s in the south. This is the Ideas Network. Do you support or oppose requiring city employees to live within city limits? We'll take your calls now, 30 seconds each. Lisa in Milwaukee. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Joy. This is Lisa, and I'm a school teacher in MPS, and I strongly oppose the residency requirement. I find that it directly affects our ability to attract teachers in any capacity, not even necessarily quality, more so even quantity. We have some wonderful teachers in the pool of Wisconsin that we can't tap because they don't want to live in the city.
All right. Thank you very much. Carolyn in Madison.
Hello.
Hi.
I support residency requirements. I want my teachers, firefighters, and police, to all of my city employees, all the people I pay my taxes for, to live in the city. I preferably walk to work. I'd like it if they could walk to work. They could live in the communities that they're part of.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. Now we go to Jerry in Menasha. Hi, Jerry. Do you support or oppose residency requirements?
I support them. I want to know why the state legislature is meddling in the affairs of Milwaukee. As they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Public employees should live in the community to better serve that community and have better knowledge of what the problems really are.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And Heather in Sun Prairie. Hi, Heather.
Hi, I oppose the requirement. I just took a job. I'm an experienced teacher in MPS, and I hate to say this, but I've got school-aged kids, and I don't want them to go to school there.
Well, there we go. We'll end on that. At least on air, we had two supporting and two opposing residency requirements. You can continue voting online. We have an online poll at wpr.org/joy. You can also find it linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So far on that online poll, 62% of you support residency laws. 38% of those voting oppose residency laws. You can continue voting. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Amanda Magnus for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. We're going to have some fun in our next hour. We're going to be talking about entertainment and popular culture. Stay with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.